Oh, Pastor has given me one more opportunity, so I'm going to take it. I thank the Lord for the opportunity to preach here, and thank the Lord for the pastor that lets me do it. It's wonderful to look at the passage, isn't it? To see it, to see the whole thing there. That's my middle point. I have a three-point sermon. I first got to remember, I want to remind you where we were last week. Last week, we were where Peter preached that most famous sermon that he ever preached last week. That sermon was the sermon at Pentecost. You don't have to turn to it. Put your brain on and remember it. Okay, you got it? You don't have to turn. Listen. When Peter preached at Pentecost, it was in the book of Acts, chapter 2, and we're looking at when Pentecost came. You remember that? When there was all those extraordinary signs. Jesus had just left 10 days before. 10 days have gone by. Pentecost had come at 50 days. Come on, preacher. 50 days. And now Pentecost come and the Holy Spirit comes. You remember how that worked when the Holy Spirit came? The Holy Spirit came and there was, and we looked at it carefully last week, it was a wind, like a wind, a noise like a wind. And so that's what drew all the people at Pentecost, that noise like a wind. There was like fire come up top of their heads. If it was pure fire, they were going to burn up, but it looked like fire. And then there was the third thing, that wonderful once-in-a-lifetime thing where everybody from every nation spoke in tongues, but all those tongues became tongues that you could understand in your own language. And the Scriptures tell us that's when the Holy Spirit came. That's when the church as we know it began. Wow! That was, by the way, about a couple thousand years ago. Now, the Lord has directed me, I think, to take that man that preached that sermon and to see if what he can tell us toward the very end of his life. He wrote two books at the very end of his life, just before he died. I'll just point that out. If you were following me, following Pastor in 2 Peter there, look at, I'm going to, just want to show one more verse beyond that. Look at 2 Peter 1:14. This is my launcher. Here we go. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as the Lord Jesus showed me. He knows he's going to die, and we know he died as a martyr. That's where I kind of want to start today. Let me see if I got it. I've already got through page one. We're all happy. Woohoo! That's a Brian. Woohoo! Okay. But I want to come to the end, and I gotta use a lot of material. So this is how we're going to handle it. I'm going to kind of go through what Pastor Adam just read, and that's going to be kind of our basic message that Peter wants you and to me to get. Just before he dies. And he's going to tell them, he's going to tell us who he is and what we are to do. But I couldn't leave it there. So before I get done preaching, I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I have 23 sermons in between there. I wouldn't remember them, so you don't have to go through them. But we'll just kind of skip along here. So we will start where Pastor started. Let me see if I got that. Yeah, that's where we'll go. I went through my notes, and the more I go through the notes, the more confusing they are. So we'll just kind of go by the Bible. You got that in your mind? You got all those verses in your mind? Now you're in 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to just kind of pop through there. I'm just going to read along and just state what it says in chapter 1 there of 2 Peter. This is what I need to have you know as we go along. Simon Peter, a bondservant. He's now, remember, I just told you, he's this the apostle that preached at Pentecost. One of the main ones. One of my favorite characters in the Bible. This is how he describes himself. A bondservant and an apostle. We have two things there that just put it in the back of your mind. his position, a servant of the Lord. That's what Peter always was. He was one of the first ones. He's the one that got in trouble all the time to say, I'm going to do this, can't do that, won't wash my feet. Remember that? He was always a stick out in the crowd. But when he gets to the end, he doesn't say, by the way, I am the best apostle. All of you listen to me now. He doesn't say that. He says, folks, this is my last letter to you. I'm a servant of the Lord. But then I want you to notice what else he says. He says, I'm not just like sliced bread here. He says, that's what he said there. It's in between the verses. He says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. There it is. So all that you remember, and we remember about that apostle Peter that sticks out in the crowd all the way through, his life has gone on. He started several churches like Paul did. Paul sticks out more because he got 13 books by Paul. But we got just these two, and we got some other stuff by Peter. But Peter is finishing up now, and this man tells us, let's see what this man tells us. As I look down through this material that I want you to kind of just reveal with me, as I look through this material, he tells us several things here. To those who have obtained like precious faith. This is 2,000 years later. I'm one of those. Amen. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I belong there. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you belong there. That's us. So he's going to talk to us. He not only, at the end of his life, he's writing this letter out. And I don't know what he knew, but we know. We got it 2,000 years later because it's in the book. If it's in the book, it's from God. You got it? Okay. This is what he says. So to us who are Christians, that this comes to us by, see how he spells it out there? You want to know how to get it. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us, how did you get it? By the righteousness of those people who live up to good things, think they're good enough, and no, that nobody got salvation by that. Those who live with us by the righteousness of our God, and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's how I got in. That's how you'll get in, if you know the Lord is your Savior. That comes to us with the very righteousness of God. And a couple of verses pop into my mind when I wrote these. And you see my notes there? I scrapped all of it out. And I said, well, maybe I better use it. And I did. So what are we going to have there? Let's see. Oh, yeah. This is my thoughts about this. About this salvation in Jesus Christ. The one who says, he knew, the one who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Do you remember that verse? 2 Corinthians 5:17. You need to have that memorized. I got it somehow memorized. There's another one that popped into my mind. Not by work of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he has saved us. You didn't get in because you were better. You got in by his mercy. Huh? We know that. You ought to be the most thankful people sitting in those pews. You got in by the mercy of God, not because you're somebody. Now let's look on. I got to move quick. Look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God in our Jesus Christ our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. This is how it works. Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have received and given to us. This is what Pastor read. Did you pick that up when you said that? Great and precious promises given to those who were partakers of the divine nature have escaped the corruption with lust in the world. And so this is what I should spend, and I thought I would spend my whole sermon on. I'm just going to read the list. This is what we who belong to the Lord, have the Lord as our personal Savior. This is what we need to work on. I'll just read the list because I'm going to jump now. But I want you to put your brain right in gear now. Okay, you got it? Here's what we're supposed to do. For this very reason, giving all, there it is. You have to work at this. Because you got saved and you're on your way to heaven doesn't mean you put it in neutral. It means you go, you put her in gear and work. Here's what we do. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godly godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now that's the work project until you get to heaven. These are things we are to work on. We're to work on virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, more and more godliness, brotherly kindness, and I like the last one, love. See, that's the work project that Peter, you know, remember I told you, this is his last letter. He says, I want you to know, you that have got in and you know the Lord is your Savior, I want you to recognize you are supposed to grow in these categories. So I want all of you to sit back and say, how am I doing here? That's what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself, am I growing in these areas of life? That's the project that Peter puts us on. Now let me see if I'm supposed to go any farther. Hang in there, folks. You're old. I'm old. Yeah, I got it. Okay, now we go to chapter 3. I'll wait for you to get there. It's the last one. It's just flip your page there. Go to 2 Peter, and this is where I want you to kind of lay into here. I want you to notice there are four beloveds. Peter says, now, beloved, I want you to do this. Beloved, I want you to know. Let's see what he says. That's my message. Beloved, those of you that are working, those of you that know the Lord, those that have been in chapter 1, those of you that, okay. This is my last testimony to you, Peter says. Let's read what it says. Beloved, chapter 3, verse 1. Beloved, I write this to you with the second epistle, in both of which I stir up, I like that, stir up your pure minds by the ways of reminder. This is not the first time they have heard this from Peter. That you may be mindful of the words which you were spoken before. Oh, this isn't just, watch it. This isn't just Peter's word. Peter doesn't just want you to remember what he said. This is what Peter wants us to know. Look at it here. I'll get it back here in just a minute. Stir up your pure minds that you may be mindful of the words which are spoken before by the holy prophets in the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, knowing that here's what he wants the brethren first to remember. I'm just going to read it out of my Bible. The first thing he wants us to remember, I got written down, A, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days. You kind of figured that out, haven't you, Americans? Walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his own coming? All things continue as they were from the beginning. That's where we live. We live in a world that totally denies the Lord or anything about it. That's the world I live in. Look at number 2 there. For this, these characters that are not Christians yet, for this they willingly forget that by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out in water, and in the water, by the way, what the world that existed perished. Remember Noah? There we are. Those people thought they could handle everything. They were running everything by their own show, the own wind. One day they all drowned. Yeah, you remember that. That's what my Bible says, and I believe the Bible. It says there that they perished being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth which are now—something else is going to happen. This is the third thing. This is who Peter's talking. He's at the end now. He says, now listen, this is what you need to remember. But the heavens and the earth which are now preserved by the same word are reserved for fire until the end, the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That's coming someday. I don't know what day it is and I don't need to care. I just know it's coming and I believe it's coming and I'm ready to get out of here when that happens. Because I'm going to be taken up. Second, beloved, point number 2. Beloved, don't forget this one thing. Now, don't forget this one thing. that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Don't forget, God's timekeeping is totally different than us. He has told us when He left that He's coming again. 2,000 years have gone by. He hasn't come back yet. But He could come today. He may not come for another 1,000 years. It's no sweat for me. I just know that when He comes, I'm going. And if I go before He comes, I'm going up because I die in the Lord. Another sermon. Now watch it. Verse 9. This is a wonderful verse. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. Purpose? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If you've never met the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you got some time, I don't know how much, to turn away from your sin, accept the Lord as your Savior, and the Bible says, then you go to heaven. Another sermon. But now watch how it works. I got to move along quickly. I am actually hunky-dory fine. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in them will be burned up. That's what's going to happen someday. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct? Now he's talking to Christians. Remember, he's talking to these beloved. This is his second admonition to the beloved Christians, to us who belong to the Lord after all these years. It's still to us. Let's look what he's telling us to do. Therefore, in verse 11, there's a wonder in the world here. Since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? When the Lord comes, my dear Christian friends, if He came today, I would trust He would be finding you in His hands and doing His work. That's what He wants me to do, that He wants you to do until you die. Pretty simple project. Kind of hard to live it out, though, isn't it? So then Peter's last words, now looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, and there it is, folks, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness shall dwell. I'm going to heaven someday. It might be on this project. I don't know that. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I would love to be sitting in a good old Baptist church when the Lord said, this is the day. Could be today. Got to quit preaching about that. But if isn't the day, until I die, this is what I need to be looking. I need to be looking for the promise of the new heavens and a new earth. Someday, I don't understand this total stuff. Of course, you don't either, so don't tell me you do. But I don't know how it's going to be. But I know I'm going to be with the Lord forever in that new heaven and earth. I don't know if heaven comes down to earth and it's all new. God makes a whole new heaven and switches it up to heaven. I don't know what it is. But I know one thing, I do know this, folks. That's where I'm going, and that's where I'm going to be forever. Amen. Forever. That's what. How did I get there? Well, I have trusted the Lord as my Savior. And I got there by His righteousness when He died for my sins. That's how I... are you in that project? Greatest thing in the world. Sometimes I wander, you know that. I told you I'm old, so you got to stick with me. Let me see what else I got here. Oh, I'm already pretty well along. I just forgot to turn the page over. Yeah, here we go. Oh, there's 10. I'd have to read. I don't know if I got by there or not. Oh, I did, but I forgot to tell you about that. Look at 10. You ain't going to know when He's coming. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. My admonition to you is you better be ready. That was something I skipped. I couldn't skip that, though. Okay. 12 and 13. I'm supposed to read that. Yeah, I got that. We're doing good. All right. We got another beloved. We got two more beloveds to go. Two down and two to go. But they're getting, it's getting shorter. It's getting toward the end. You noticed that, didn't you? Some are you saying amen? You're not supposed to say amen yet. Here we go. Therefore, beloved, therefore, because what all Peter says, I'm you know, this whole background, I've been telling you all the time. Therefore, because of all this blessing, belonging to the Lord, going to be with the Lord, having all this wonderful thing, this is what Peter says, I'm going to die, and he did die as a martyr very soon after this. He says, I know that I'm going to die, but look here. Therefore, looking forward to these things, oh, here's another diligent. This is what we're supposed to work at. Be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. That's what I wrote down here. Looking for these things, we need to be found on that day in peace. Without spot and blemish. Well, I'm not going to get there without spot and blemish. But what I think he's talking about is those that know the Lord, that are in the Lord, has paid for all our sins, and we get up there in Christ's stead because Christ has died for us and died for our sins. That's the best I can do today on that particular subject. And I put down here, just like I like this, this is what made me almost go to this sermon tonight, today. Look at this little caveat here. You've got to get this. This is interesting. He stuck this right in here. And verse 15, and consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, and also our beloved brother Paul. There it is, at the end of his letter. All of us know about Paul. Paul's the great guy. He got met by the Lord Jesus Christ, who bopped him on the road. You remember that? You remember how it all figured out? And Paul becomes the man. Paul becomes the one that teaches us all about God and how to live for the Lord, what we're supposed to do. He's got 13 books in that New Testament. Paul does. So we stick our nose out and say, we are a really great theologian. We know what Paul said. You know what Peter said? Oh, by the way, Paul said a lot of things, and you notice what he says about him? That's the way I look at Paul, too, by the way. Look what it says here. Which are some things hard to understand. Now, I've been studying my Bible and been preaching to people for 60 years. And some of it's still pretty hard to understand, especially what Paul says. So I've been working on that for 60 years. If the Lord gives me any more, I'll work some more. But I just love that when Peter's finishing his life on earth, he says, I want you to remember that Paul and I are on the same page. We're both apostles. We're both servants of God. And he has told you a lot. Sometimes it's hard to understand. And what he just says in between the lines, you just keep studying. You didn't know that. That's what he said. I thought I'd throw that in just for your spiritual minds. I just really like that. Beloved Paul, which we don't understand and sometimes get twisted. A lot of people twist Paul. If you want to get it straight, come next Sunday. When our pastor preaches, he gets it straight. He studies it for a whole week, and every word he's got is exactly right. I know that. I've been sitting under his preaching for almost 10 years. One more, beloved. One more. One more, beloved. I like this one. I almost skipped it. I didn't see it till the very end. We pop down to verse 13, I think it is. No, what is it? Is that 16? 17. That's it. I got it marked out so I can't read it. 17. You got it right next to the last. You, therefore, beloved. There's the fourth beloved. What's he going to tell them? What's he going to tell you? What's he telling me? Therefore, beloved, you know this beforehand. Beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Now, he's not going to tell them they can lose their salvation, that you can't do that. If you're in, you're in. If you're out, you're out. There's no in between, by the way. And if you're in and you're trying to get out and you do something, the Lord will let you know that right away. Another sermon, another day. Be like, but this is falling from your steadfastness. A lot of Christians don't end well. They became a Christian. They trusted the Lord as their Savior. Somehow. If it's a real thing, it's a real thing. If Christ is your Savior, you belong to the Lord as your Savior. But that ought to make a total difference in your life. It ought to make you different than you were. It ought to make you look up instead of look in. Look up instead of look out. Look up to remind yourself that you belong to the Lord, beloved. Because that's what you are. That's why I wanted to finish it up like this. Because that's all you are. If you know the Lord as your Savior, you're in the four beloveds. You're in Peter's last thoughts. Only he looked at the churches. He didn't know. I don't think he knew that all this was going to be in a Bible that I'm going to read 2,000 years later. That wasn't up to him. He didn't know that, but I do. And so I'm looking to you, beloved, this evening, this morning. As I look out to you, beloved, let's see what he says. His last words to us. Now, I'm in there too, by the way. So what does he say? Beloved, since you know this before, since you know what I told you now, beware. So you can't, don't be looking around, look in, beloved. It's not for me to judge you, but it is for me to judge me, to see if, not that I'm only in and say, I know I'm saved, but my question I want is to ask the Lord every day, and I want you to ask the Lord every day, is how am I doing? How am I doing, Lord? Am I understanding you better? I'm supposed to grow in grace and in knowledge of the Lord. Well, that's my last point. Am I knowing you better? Am I following you better? Am I loving you better? Am I going better? That's what I want to be. I want to be on the way up spiritually when I zip up. And I want all of you to be up on the way up spiritually. That doesn't happen automatic. You know what you have to do? Get in the book and follow it. That's all you got to do. Get in the book, read what it says, and do what it tells you. That's all it is. Let me see. I think I'm getting close to the end of my sermon. I'm actually 5 minutes early. I can't let you out 5 minutes early. Cheer up. There's another verse. Cheer up. There's another verse. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't fall in the error of the wicked. Don't. But oh, now the last words he has to the beloved. Here's the end of the book. Here's the end of 2 Peter. But beloved, I say to you in verse 18, grow up. In what? In the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Are you a growing Christian? Do you understand the Word of God better than you did last year? Do you feel yourself to be close to the Lord and understanding what God is doing in your life better than you did 10 years ago? Many of us have passed many decades. I'm surprised that I'm here. I thought I would be up by now. I really did not plan on being over 82 years old. My mother died at 83. I figured that was it. My dad died at 44. I got by that pretty good. But I just thought I would be gone by now. But here I still am. I never thought I would be allowed to preach in this church. The pastor lets me preach 50 years after I started. Never thought on that. But here I am. But am I where I'm asking you to be? Closer to the Lord? Following all I know He's teaching me? Living for God, not the world. Living in a world that does not love God. That's what Peter's talking about. Living in a world that says we're crazy and a loon. Living in a world that does not appreciate or believe in my Jesus Christ as Savior. That's the world I live in. But the world I'm in is the world that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's me. That's where I live. And I enjoy it. Because I got help. Every day, I ask the Lord to help me to know and to do what He wants me to do. I've been doing that for a long time. And He has helped me. And He is helping me. And He's helped me to get through this sermon. This is an odd kind of sermon to preach. There's way too much material. But I wanted you to get the burden of it. I wanted you to get what I think the Lord wants me to get. That is, after all that super duper stuff at Pentecost, Peter had to live his whole life doing what God wanted him to do with a whole rest of his life. And like Paul, because he put him right there in the end, he was living his life out, doing what God told him to do after Christ had left and gone to heaven. Doing what God told him to do. And he's going to play, he started churches just like Paul did. And now he's going to write to all of them and say, now don't forget. And that's what I had to say. How am I going to get across to these people today? This is how I get it across. This might be my last sermon. I hope not. But it might be. I think about that every time now. Because the pastor gives me a shot at this 2 times a year. This is my 4th sermon. I'm kind of glad the pastor takes vacations and I get to preach. Don't tell him that. He might want to go on vacation tomorrow. I don't know. But so I don't know when that's going to happen again. But I want to know in my heart that I've been practicing what Peter told those people, my beloved people. I want you to do this. I want you to know this. I want you to follow this. And I want you to depend on the fact that Jesus Christ, the one that took you, that went to heaven, died on a cross for your sins, will take you to heaven when you die. That's what he wanted them to know. Oh, I got one more phrase before I'm done. You see it? Are you growing in grace and knowledge? Did I hit that hard enough? You get it? Does your conscience bother you at all? Okay, then I'm with it. Notice what's going to happen at the end. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen. That's what's going to happen. Anything that God has done in you, for you, with you, pop, that's going to go to heaven. That's me too. Anything that has happened in me, for me, and by me has been done by His power, by His grace. And I hope I've been working on 2 things. The mercy that He holds back and the grace that He flows out. I depend on His grace every day. His wonderful love that throws to me, His grace that comes to me, and His mercy that holds back all that I did deserve. Does that lift you a little today? I hope it does. I just hope it does. I'm done preaching, I think. Hallelujah. Yeah, I got it. Oh, I'll show you how to do it. I got the last thing. This is the 4th last thing, right? Okay. The last thing. This is what I wrote down. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord and Savior. How do you do it? How can this be done? Well, you read it every day. And you follow what it says every day. And you depend on the Holy Spirit because some of it you can't understand. Ask for His help. And Peter concludes, if you do all that and you live that way, God's going to get the glory. Most of you are still awake. That's good. We're going to close singing, To God Be the Glory.